We hope to achieve the retention of our terms and conditions of employment and convincing the employer that they should withdraw their attacks on it.
So I understand the employers are Transdev and Hyundai Rotem?
Yes, so we have the French multinational Transdev and we have the Korean multinational Hyundai Rotem.
And when did they take over from KiwiRail?
They took over on the 1st of July 2016. They spent 2 years researching the bid, and they during that time they had full unfettered access to all of KiwiRail's wage and timesheet records. They didn't really need any other information because, of course, they don't own anything. They are, you know, how employers say, our staff are our greatest asset. The difference with these two foreign multinationals is the only asset they own are the staff. So they're effectively a labour hire agency. And so after 2 years of research, it beggars belief that somehow or other they factored their bid on the basis of slashing workers' terms and conditions of employment.
So why did they take over from KiwiRail?
It's because the national government put in place a system called PTOM, Public Transport Operating Model, that required all regional councils to tender out their public transport operation and to give it to the cheapest bidder. So what we've seen throughout New Zealand is that the public transport contracts have gone to low tender operators, and it's all involved the slashing of terms and conditions of employment for the workers in those industries. So in Wellington, you've got the bus drivers at the moment that are looking at having all of their terms and conditions stripped as part of a contract renewal. And here we are, 12 months down track, looking at the same thing in rail. The reason it's 12 months down track for us is that the regional council wrote into the tendering documents that for the rail contract, the bidders had to take all of the workers on their existing terms and conditions of employment. But that only lasted until the contract comes up for renewal.
So Transdev said it had accepted all of the union's claims and offered a package increasing pay and allowances by 2%. Is this entirely true?
Transdev have accepted the RMTU's claims in principle. That's on the basis that they will agree to ours if we agree to all of theirs. The reason that they found our claims very easy to agree to is because we had very, very modest claims in this wage round. So we had a request for real wage growth. We had a request for our low-paid passenger operator rates to be living wage. And we had some requests for pay and progression normalisation to occur for some various pay grades. We had a request for full disclosure during the currency of the document of any plans that they may have for things like automation and so on. And that was the sum total of our claims.
I also understand there was a claim around working on public holidays, whether it be voluntary or not.
That's the employer claim. So the employers have lots of claims, which all involve taking terms and conditions off our members. So they have a claim to change medical certificates that they request to be paid by the employee, where currently the employer has to pay for any medical certificates they request. We have an injury management agreement where the employer agrees to treat work injuries and non-work injuries and illnesses the same. They want to change it to only applying to work injuries or illnesses. The stat days, they want to change the word requested to required. So when we asked them, what's the problem here that you're trying to fix? They told us, oh, there is no problem. We always have workers lining up to work stat days. We said, well, why do you need required? Oh, we just do. So this is all about a lack of respect, and it's all about transferring money from the wage packets of our members to the balance sheets of these foreign multinationals, and it's about moving the pendulum of power in the employment relationship from the workers the middle, definitely to the employer's side.
In regards to stat days, you mean statutory holidays, right?
I do.
Do you foresee much public support for your cause?
I see the public supporting our cause and understanding why we're doing. I don't see the public being widespread in their embracing of the inconvenience we're causing them by shutting down the Wellington Rail network. But they need to understand, and I think some of them do, that we've been driven to it. We initiated bargaining on the 4th of May of this year. We couldn't get the employer to the negotiating table until the 21st of August. We've been negotiating with them face-to-face since the 21st of August. We've had three lots of mediation, and they just will not budge in any of their claims. And so the only thing that we are now left with is industrial action to try and support our position of not having our terms and conditions taken off us.
And if negotiations fall through again, is the union prepared to take industrial action again?
Well, the industrial negotiations have fallen through because the last time we met with the employer, we got to a point where they took an adjournment to consider what we said, and then we got told by the mediator that actually they had left the building. So negotiations broke down on the basis that they walked out. They will resume when they pick up the phone indicating to us that they have shifted position and are prepared to engage in meaningful negotiations. We are always prepared to talk with employers. The simple fact that this is the first 24-hour stoppage in the history of this network since 1994 indicates that our members are not unreasonable people. The fact is we normally sit down and we do deals with more than 40 employers in New Zealand across a wide range of sectors. The environment that we're negotiating this one in Wellington is something that I have never encountered before in 20 years of full-time union work.
Is this one of the first times you've had to deal directly with the multinational companies?
No, because of course the rail industry was owned for a period of time by foreign multinationals. Firstly, Wisconsin Central, and then Toll out of Australia. And I can assure you that we had our arguments with those employers, but we never faced the situation we're in. The things that these employers are trying to take from us are the conditions we had through all of those years of privatisation and foreign ownership. This is unprecedented for an employer to be smacking and attacking core industry conditions. We have a number of rail industry employers where these conditions are the norm. So we have Kiwi Rail at one extreme and we have Dunedin Railways at the other. These provisions are industry provisions.
So would you prefer if Kiwi Rail took over again?
Oh, my preference would have been that Kiwi Rail never lost the contract. I just think it's absolutely appalling that when the rail contract was put, the rail bid was put in place by the Greater Wellington Regional Council, it specifically required that any person who was tendering for the project had to have international railway experience. This meant that the national rail operator, who had been operating this system since the day it started, couldn't actually tender for the operation in its own right. Absolutely appalling.
Do you think that was in an effort to almost fix the bids?
I think it was an effort to make sure that Kiwi Rail didn't get the bid and that a foreign multinational did.